together, and what wonderful, wonderful times that they were. Now here I am, 74 years old, and I'm wondering where all the time went. Seems like yesterday when I was enjoying the young people. What a joyous time that was. So those of you who are young, enjoy it. I implore you, enjoy it. Get together with the young folks and sing and to play, but also to remember the Word of God. You know, when we're young, we learn verses, don't we? Probably more so when we're young than when we get older. It seems like that we get so busy that we don't have time, you know, just to sit down and memorize, and time is one problem. And the other problem is, I'm not really sure, I'm not the doctor, but I think when you get older, the skull gets thicker. You know, you just, somehow or other, things don't get through as easily as they did when you were young. And so it's harder. But one of the verses that I learned when I was a boy, and I'm sure everyone here learned it early on, you young folks surely will recognize it the moment I recite it. But the Apostle Paul speaks about it in Acts chapter 20. He recites it in verse 35 of Acts 20. He is talking about serving the Lord, and talking about how that the Lord certainly knew what it was to give. And he quotes that scripture, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now you knew that, didn't you? Certainly. I see a lot of young folks going, yeah, we know that. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now we don't have a lot of time tonight, but I want to start out tonight telling you a little story. It's a true story. And, you know, I think that in my lifetime, I have profited more by the little stories, by the little experiences of my life, as well as the experiences of others as they relate them to me. I have profited more from that than of simply studying theology all the time. You know, theology is wonderful, but there's the practical side of Christianity that is so important. Theology is important too, but the practical side of our Christian lives is so important. Blackberry time in Michigan. Well, it's almost done now. Blackberry time in Michigan comes towards the end of August and into September, and that was a big time for us when we lived on the farm. My father, he knew where all of the best patches of wild blackberries were in the forest. He had them all marked, and he kept track of them all year long, and he knew just which ones were going to bear the best and biggest berries. We would go into the forest as a family and pick those berries. We would go in with a big wash tub. You've seen these galvanized wash tubs, and we would fill it with blackberries. But the whole family was picking, and we would take them home, of course, and my mother and sisters would preserve them by cold packing them in fruit jars. We didn't have any electricity on the farm, so we couldn't freeze them. So they were all cold packed. My father knew where the biggest and best ones were. But I knew where there was a patch. I knew. My father didn't know about it. And I kept it secret. And I did for a very special reason. There was a a brother, his family, some of you would have known him. He's home with the Lord now. But Brother Roy Pell, some of you, I see some of your heads shaking. Yes, you remember him and what a dear brother he was. But he and his family lived in the Cadillac area for 3 years and fellowshipped with us at the Pleasant Lake Chapel. And I admired Roy. I loved to hear him preach. And I wanted to do something special for him. And so, one afternoon, actually, to be truthful, it was a Sunday afternoon, and he had come to our house for dinner. And I had the afternoon free after dinner, and I took a little, it was a little tiny quart box made of very thin wood. You've seen them, they use them for strawberries and what have you. And I went back to that secret patch of mine, and I picked all of those blackberries. And they were luscious. Big ones like this, big, long, my father called them thimbleberries. Juicy and delicious. But I picked them special for Roy Bell. I wanted to bless him with that gift. Now, he didn't know I was doing this. No one knew I was doing this. But I brought them to church that night. And Roy got out of his van. He had one of these big old vans. Like a bakery van. I don't know if that helps to explain, but no windows on the side, and no windows on the back. And he drove that often. He drove that to church that night. And I caught him in the parking lot. And I said, Mr. Pell, I have something I want to give you. And so he waited by his truck. I went to the car and I got that box of blackberries, and I remember I was only like 8 years old, but I was so pleased, I was so proud to be able to bring that box of blackberries and present them to a man that I admired. And when I handed them to him, I remember as he took them and he looked at me and he gave a little smile and said thank you, and he opened up that back door and he set it in behind the back seat and closed the door. The seat came all the way to the back, so there was very little room between the back door and the seat, and he laid it there. He shut the door. I never heard anything more about it. And I have to tell you honestly, I don't know if he ever used them. For all I know, they're still there. I honestly don't know if he used them. So what's my point in my story tonight? The verse says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I seriously doubt that if Brother Roy Pell was living today, which he isn't, he's home with the Lord, but I seriously doubt that if he was alive and I was to approach him and ask him about the blackberries, he would say, huh? What blackberries? What are you talking about? So I want to ask you a question, particularly from the young folks. Who got more mileage out of that gift, Roy or David? Who got the most mileage out of that? And I have to say, you already know the answer. I did. It was my gift to him. And I have thought about that in relationship to this verse throughout my life. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It was a little thing. What joy that I got out of giving that. And is not that the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself? For he lived his life that way. He gave everything he had. for you and I. And there are many in the world today, for he died for the sins of the whole world, didn't he? And there are many in the world today who are totally untouched by it. They are completely unaware of it. They have not applied it to themselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never forget. What did it cost him to do that? I came out of that briar patch that Sunday afternoon, because these were big briars. They stood this high. And those of you who know anything about wild blackberry briars, you know you don't want to go into a briar patch. I came out with scratches on my arms and on my legs because the best berries were in the center of the patch. But they were worth every scratch that I got. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we will see him in heaven, for those of us who have responded to his gift, those of us who have accepted it, and we take it to our hearts, and we come to him in faith believing, confessing and saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you. When we are before him in heaven, it will be worth every hurt and pain that the Lord Jesus Christ endured to have us there. Oh, think about that for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ died that we might live. It was a gift to us. How sad it is for those who are not affected by it. But is not that our responsibility as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now in the world in which we live, is it not our responsibility to take the gospel to even those who don't want to hear it? The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. First he said of himself, I am the light of the world. But then later he turned it and he said, I will be God and you will be the light of the world. And you must take the gospel message to present it faithfully. And not everyone is going to want to hear it. But you take it and present it. And as we go, what should our prayer be? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes I think that we as believers don't put enough emphasis upon the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We talk about the Father, we talk about the Son, and rightly we should. But it is the Holy Spirit of God that will run before us as we bring the gospel to the lost, and who will prepare the hearts to receive that seed, to receive that gospel message. And so should we not pray for the working power of the Holy Spirit of God to prepare the hearts that we are about to minister to. When I think about those that the Lord has asked us to go to, we don't have time to turn to all of the passages, and we don't need to. But the Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching to the disciples taught them that we should go and seek out those who are poor, who are maimed, who are blind. In other words, those who don't have much of this earth's goods. Why did he direct us to that? Because it is the abundance of things in this life that causes men's ears to be deaf to the gospel message. It seems that when they come to the end of themselves, that they are more ready to hear. They are eager to hear and eager to listen. And so he has told us, Luke chapter 14, you don't have time to turn to it, but you look it up in your Bibles. Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. What does he say? He says, minister. Minister to those who are in need. Don't spend your time giving to people who will be able to give back to you again. In other words, we want to associate with people who are like us. And so when we give them something, we'd like for them to give something back to us. That's what Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 is all about. Seek out those who cannot recompense you. You take the gospel to them. They can't do anything in return except fall on their knees before the Lord and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, I have picked a subject that we could spend 2 hours on and not exhaust it. We go forth with the gospel. And we go forth expecting nothing in return. But doesn't the Bible teach us that we should labor to earn a crown? And you say, but David, now that's a paradox. First you say we should not expect anything in return. But as we go to serve the Lord, are we not taught in the scriptures that we have crowns to be earned? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to end my message tonight, and I wish I had more time, but I don't. But I want to end my message tonight with this resounding in your ears. When I finish this life, I want to have one of those crowns. And you say, why? Why? Because it's my understanding as I read through the Word of God and study it, that when we are all at home with the Lord, one of the greatest joys that we are going to have is to fall down on our faces before Him and take those crowns and cast them at His feet, because only He is worthy to wear them. How do we earn that crown? Several different crowns in Scripture to be earned. Many different gifts that the Lord gives to His people. And He only asks that we be faithful with the gift that He has given to us. I want to depart this life with one of those crowns. So that when I am at His feet, I will have something to give Him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I want you to have this. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we take the gospel to the world, to the lost, let us do so, expecting nothing in return, except with a sincere desire to earn the crown, so that we might give it back to Him. I could never wear it in heaven. I couldn't wear it. Only He is worthy to wear it. I hope you understand what I've shared with you today. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself in heaven. When he came to serve, he came to serve expecting nothing in return except your thanks. It's all he expected in return. Won't you be glad to be there? And won't you be glad to have something to share with him? So it was worth all those scratches that I got. A lot of you here, the old folks, you've spent your whole lives serving the Lord. And now you look back, and I'm sure some of you wonder, did it really do any good? I know that my mother and father asked themselves that question. Did I really ever really do any good? That's not for us to ask. Remain faithful with what he's given us to do and leave the results with him. Continue faithfully to minister to the believers around us and to the lost, and live in anticipation of that day when we are home with the Lord. I'm sorry I've gone over, but I hope you take a thought home with you tonight, especially the young folks. Take that little story home with you about the blackberry patch and the scratches that I received, and it was worth every bit of them, because I got more out of it than Roy ever did. And so our Lord will get more out of it than you and I ever will. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we come humbly. Father, we confess before you tonight our inability to express what we feel in our hearts. But Father, we are so thankful tonight that you allow us to continue to minister in your vineyard, even in spite of our failure and even sometimes our incompetence. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your care. May we be faithful in knowing why we serve. May we cry out together, even so come, Lord Jesus. We want to see his face. In the name of your beloved Son, we say these things. Amen.